shaking them chickens, shaking them chickens. Shaking them chickens, shaking them chickens. Moving the crowd. Shaking them chickens, shaking them chickens. Moving the crowd.
Thanks for listening to KVOO Portland, 90.7 FM in the Portland metro area and all over the world at kvoo.fm.
I'm Grace Gerling, Medicine Eagle Reed. I am broadcasting Negotiating Dramatic Events, a new show on KVOO, the third Wednesday at 9 a.m. I am a social justice activist since the 1960s. The purpose of the show is to make life more wonderful for me and the people around me. And I'm 80, and I'm going to take my elderliness and share what I have found so that everybody can be seen, heard, and understood. Negotiating Dramatic Events, the third Wednesday at 9 a.m. Thanks for tuning in. Really appreciate KVOO.
Hi, it's Al Franken telling you to listen to KBOO, KBOO, Community Radio 90.7, here in Portland.
Andy Whoa looks a scream, have him on my whoa. Andy Whoa, silver stream, can't tell them apart at all.
My name's Joseph Gallivan, and you're listening to Art Focus on KBOO Portland. My guest this week is painter Bethany Rowland. She's talking about her show, What Meets the Eye, which is on now at Laura Vincent Design and Gallery through September 28th. Thanks very much for doing Art Focus, Bethany.
Thanks for having me.
So this is a show of birds, paintings of birds, mostly raptors. There's a few landscapes and abstractions, but mostly it's these, what I would think of as like hawks, staring you in the face, and they're very impactful. You have a particular style which uses lots of layers. One piece that really grabs you as you come in is called Hold Fast, and like most of them, it's acrylic on clayboard, and it's a close-up of a bird's face with the beak straight on and the eyes dominating the composition. There's the outline of the head And then there are many layers of spilled paint or dripped paint. There are drawing marks too, and there are outlines, but really it's a lot of shading that brings out the sort of structure of the bird's face. And this is a very intense picture of a bird of prey. So just tell us how you came to make this particular painting, Hold Fast.
Sure. So this painting is inspired by actually a juvenile peregrine falcon. I have a special relationship to peregrine falcons, and I can explain that later when we talk about the peregrine. The painting that you see here is, I use acrylic. It's painted on clayboard, which is a surface I really like in terms of how the paint responds to being put down. You can remove it, you can spray it. There's lots of freedom, kind of like when you work with charcoal, you can do a lot of erasing, adding, and subtracting. And just like I think people have their favorite pen, you know, they write better when they have their favorite pen. There's something about how I paint and this surface, which is a pre-made surface that has a wooden cradle that has a like an eighth inch layer of clay that's made. And it's made by Ampersand. And mm-hmm. it's become my favorite surface. Mm-hmm. But to get back to the bird, when I start a painting, I will just start with making abstract marks and just not really thinking. I may know, like I do want to end up with a head of a falcon here, but in order to get there, I need to just allow sort of what's inside of me to come out. Mm-hmm. This one's dominated by dark brown and blue and yellow. This is Prussian blue, which is one of my favorites, and also I use Payne's gray.
So you start in the abstract, you know you're gonna make a bird's face or body.
Yeah, and the time I spend on the abstract can vary from like, wow, this is really flowing, and I'm able to kind of visualize something coming out of it, a figure.
Days?
Hours, days. When you think about the process, sometimes there can be abstract. You pull a figure out, it becomes too precious. You turn it into something more abstract, mm-hmm. and you refine it a little bit. Mm-hmm. This painting, when you come to the show, this is probably the wildest painting in terms of being the loosest, the freest, the most probably emotionally strong, in my opinion. Mm-hmm.
So when you make a mark, like there's a big white brush mark down the right-hand side mm-hmm. by the bird's head.
Yeah.
It's a wide brush stroke. It's sort of jagged. You can see the motion in it. There's a similar one in the bottom left.
Uh-huh.
These are kind of energetic marks. Is that totally related to how you're feeling at the time?
I believe yes, and that came at the end. You'll see those two marks, and then you see these repeating white marks that are done with a... I always use square-tip brushes, by the way. I can use them on their edge, but there's something about a square-tip brush that makes me feel... If I had a pointed brush, I would feel more pressure to create something perfectly. And a square-tip brush just seems to translate better what I'm feeling with what ends up on the canvas or the clay board. I often end a painting with very quick, sort of unconsciously driven marks. And if it's a painting that succeeds, they create a better composition. I don't have control of that always. This bird is like you said, looking at you, and I just want people to know I'm just captivated by the gaze of raptors. It's obvious and also mysterious. I mean, I think there's something about my history. I've been a psychiatric nurse practitioner therapist for the past 30 years, spending most of my time looking at people, sitting very closely, being open. And there's something about that human-to-human, human-to-animal, human-to-spirit connection that motivates me to paint and to try to just paint better.
Mm-hmm. To the right of it is one called Deep Listening. It sounds like a talk therapy kind of job. It's very different because the bird is much clearer. It's got a big brown chest and head, kind of light blue face and beak and one wing, and it's sitting up straight and looking down, and the figure ends at the bottom on the right. There's just, it turns into abstraction there. Well, what kind of bird is this, and like, where do you get up close to see these birds?
This is an American kestrel who I actually observed at the Cascades Raptor Center, which is a rehab facility in Eugene, outside of Eugene, Oregon. And they have an array of birds that are their residents. This bird is an ambassador. From what I understand, he's there to teach us about what it means to be a raptor. So the handlers bring him out. So he was actually on a handler's glove mm-hmm. when I took a photograph, several photographs mm-hmm. of him. So this is based on a photograph, which is often how I work. I had never seen an American kestrel, which they're actually a very small raptor, and they tend to perch on cliff faces or at the top of cliffs because they hover and dive for prey on the ground. And they're very small, very fierce, and very fast. And they this bird looks quite reflective and docile. And that, hence the title, Deep Listening. Even though the show is called What Meets the Eye, I realize that, you know, what meets our eye is actually what comes into our senses, including sometimes seeing involves what am I feeling, what am I taking in. So mm-hmm. the painting is, as you say, it's a little more defined. The thing that makes an American kestrel so beautiful is the blue and russety brown with black and white. It's a beautiful bird. As you say, there's abstractions to this painting, and that's part of what kind of excites me about painting, is being able to have a very defined area of focus. And in this case, I would say it's the bird's head. Mm-hmm. There's something that, to me, I just can't seem to finish a painting and cover every inch of the canvas. There's something about leaving a little space, whether it's for the eye to rest or for you to feel like maybe this isn't complete.
Mm-hmm. The other big painting here, under the sign that says Bethany Rowland, What Meets the Eye, is a big picture called The Dreaming Eye. And again, it's acrylic and graphite and clay board. And this is a bird either in flight or just sort of or getting up, you know, starting to land or to fly. Its wings are huge, you know, they're sort of flexed. The legs are, claws are out, like it's in full motion. And in the background, there seem to be mountains, maybe snowy mountains, but there's a white sky too. And the bird, again, is turning its head 90 degrees to look directly at the viewer, even though the center of the composition is the back of the bird and under the wing. The eyes are over on the right, but they immediately engage you. And again, this is very expressive brushwork, wide brushes, and then a lot of drips coming almost from the middle right down to the bottom. So again, what kind of bird is the dreaming eye, and why did you pick this particular pose?
Okay. This bird is actually a red-tailed hawk that was the raptor that a friend of mine who is a falconer learned how to become a master falconer. And a falconer is someone, as you know, it's an ancient form of hunting. In order to become a falconer, you have to raise, in his case, a red-tailed hawk as a baby, and then you let it go. Once you're done with your training, like you keep it for a year or so, and then at one point, and then another point, you you don't call it back, and it goes off into the wild.
You raise it and use it for hunting, and then let it go.
Yeah, so it's falconry is a sport. It's something I didn't really understand when I met Adam and his work, but he said 70% of raptors don't make it past the first year. So falconry,
what happens to them?
They die from either disease or the elements or food availability, maybe climate change factors, habitat. Mm-hmm. So this was a bird of his that he named Jess, I believe. And he gave me a picture of himself with Jess hovering at the beach looking back at him. Mm-hmm. So it's another image of a bird that has that intense gaze. And the colors I've used in this painting are not natural to a red-tailed hawk. There's no red tail.
But the wings are, one wing is red.
Yeah, and the this particular position of the bird is something I've actually painted before in other paintings, and sometimes people have seen it and said, oh, that looks like an owl. So my interpretation of the birds you see in the paintings are, I don't try to make them absolutely representational. No photorealism here. It's more poetic in terms of how I see them. But I think there's characteristics about because seeing is the strongest sense of a raptor, and so the eyes are very important. So I created the bird first. You'll see graphite talons, but I've actually not painted in the talons, and there's actually a
there's a third leg, a third foot or leg. What's that all about?
It's the way I painted it initially, and there was something about the position of the leg, and I think anybody who paints or draws has that experience of, like, if you're doing a figure, like if you're working with a model and you try to translate what you see onto the paper and you end up looking at it from afar and you say, that is completely off. It's not reading well. And there's something about in my paintings where I like to reveal where I've been in the painting and how I was interpreting it, and then where it came from there. I think there's something about having a rich history in the transparency of the work. So I use a lot of medium with my acrylic paint, which is gloss medium. It's just thins it down so you can get many layers. Mm-hmm. And for me, I know some people who do that, they can put like 10, 20 layers, and it really helps with the luster of a painting. This I think for me it helps me build on what I've already created, change it, but also kind of remember it. And then when I finished this bird, I actually did the bird first. I was really vexed about how to create the composition. A lot of my paintings are just simply of a bird, but there is, I think composition is important, it's challenging. So I knew I had this big area of negative space, which is the unpainted space, and just started making abstract marks. And I think this is something that really interests me, is how places we've inhabited, land forms or areas that are important to us, show up when we paint or create things that have an unconscious element to it. This is actually, when I finished creating this composition, I did turn them into these mountains, but I realized it's Black Butte, Mount Washington, and one of the sisters, and that's an area that I go to and see raptors. Mm-hmm. So.
My name's Joseph Gallivan. You're listening to Art Focus on KBOO Portland. My guest this week is painter Bethany Rowland. She's talking about her show What Meets the Eye, which is on now at Laura Vincent Design and Gallery in the Pearl through September 28th. That's only 4 days away. So Bethany, you did some landscape pieces in this show. One of them is Summer Lake. It's painting's called What Meets the Eye. So it's Summer Lake in Oregon, south of Bend. It looks like a wintry landscape. There's a lake with reflecting the white sky. There are mountains, snowy mountains beyond dark green mountains. What were you doing in Summer Lake?
I was at Summer Lake in 2017 and also again in 2019. I was sort of an add-on to my husband, who was there for a residency, and they invited me as an artist to come spend 2 weeks painting. Mm-hmm. And Summer Lake, the residency is run by Playa, which is a organization devoted to art and science, and they invite artists to come work, make art, and whether it's visual art, writing, music. Mm-hmm.
Could you get much done in 2 weeks?
At the time, I was still working full-time my other job, and so it gave me 2 weeks of uninterrupted time to paint. Mm-hmm. This painting is a painting that came together more quickly than most. A lot of my paintings have many layers underneath, meaning I do still have the transparencies, but for many paintings, what you see may not be at all where I started, even with a figure. Mm-hmm. But this painting, I guess I was inspired by the vastness of this land, the big sky. You'll see cloud formations. I like how the gesture of moving a particular tool, which is another virtue of the clay board, you can slide things across it with mm-hmm. like a little spatula that created
these snowy mountains mm-hmm. have a hard...
It's like a little rubber spatula with a blunt tip. I did that at the very end, and it was like, okay, that painting's done. I wasn't planning it, but it actually helped define. It's a transition between the dark landform and the sky. You know, when I look at this painting, and why I gave it the title "What Meets the Eye" is that there is so much there to see when you're there. And some of the meaning of this painting is where I see these drips coming down. It reminds me of migrant camps and fences and just elements of what we either are exposed to or hear about in the news about what's happening with people who are homeless. It's sort of a representation of human activity, but you don't see any humans in this landscape. Mm-hmm. It could also be, and I haven't really thought about it, using fencing to kind of keep the land from eroding.
Nature art, you know, pictures of animals, usually kind of occupies a niche. It's kind of decorative, and the message is usually, oh, how majestic these animals are, maybe they're endangered, you know, and that's kind of the limit of the engagement. But in your case, you want to paint an animal, but then have a whole substrata of meaning. I don't know how accessible that is to the viewer, but I like hearing you talk about it, and you have a really well-written artist statement, because your main concern is about human relationships, I mm-hmm, think, mm-hmm. and how in the group, in a sort of social sense. So just say a little bit about what you're getting at behind these pictures of birds.
Mm-hmm. Well, thanks for noticing that. I encourage people, if you have an opportunity, to either see the show or look at Laura Vincent's website. My artist statement is on the website. I will admit, I believe I'm a better writer than a spontaneous speaker. And what is in my heart does come out in writing, but I feel like part of... maybe this is the artist's plight, you know, let the work speak for itself. But I do feel like I have a responsibility to, and a desire to have people know me and know I'm not just painting pretty pictures of birds or even a landscape. I think I had an experience with a peregrine falcon in 2016 that really, I believe, it changed my life. At the time, I was working at my therapy office at the Pittock Block building, which is right across, you know, a block away from Powell's on the 8th floor. I arrived at work one morning, and there on the balustrade was this beautiful, large female peregrine falcon. I literally like fell to my knees and said, you came. I mean, I knew that peregrine falcons, they nest on the Fremont Bridge. They've been brought back or near extinction. So I knew that there were peregrine falcons flying in the area. Side note, I took a bunch of pictures, contacted Bob Salinger, who then at that point was working for the Audubon Society, the Portland Bird Alliance, and he said, she's not one of our residents. She's a migrant because there's no banding on her. The thing that made this visit so remarkable is that I felt like I've got to get close to her because I have someone coming in to see me. I don't want to miss out.
You had a patient?
I had a patient waiting in the waiting room, and here's this falcon. So I thought, I've just got to walk up close to the window. And these are the old, huge, 10-foot windows. She was literally like 3 feet from me. She looked right at me. I took some pictures and I thought, okay, I got to go to work now. And I brought the patient in, who happened to be a photographer. Didn't have her camera, but we were both pretty fascinated. This falcon stayed for 4 hours. I saw two people for a session during that time. The rest of the time I pulled up a chair and just sat there. And it was the first time I'd ever had that experience of a wild animal being so close. I've been actually painting her since 2016, versions of her over and over again. There's a painting in the show called The Reckoning, and then there's another one, The Light of One Tiny Sun, that are both peregrine falcons that are inspired by her. They're the fastest animal on the planet when they stoop to catch their prey, which are usually pigeons or some birds. They can go over 200 miles an hour. They're gorgeous birds, and she put on a display. She must have eaten a pigeon because her chest area was pretty large. She was picking food out of her talons. There was dew on her talons, I could see. Mm. In thinking about it, what is so moving about this experience? Because I literally thought when it was all over, when she flew away, and I actually didn't see her fly away because I was talking to someone, I thought I could die tomorrow and it would be okay. It was that intense. Like, this mm-hmm. This felt like one of those experiences where I don't need any more. This happened during the time when the migrant crisis, people trying to escape from Northern Africa, people drowning, the migrant camps all over the world. And it just made me reflect on, what does it mean to be a migrant? We've got the history of, this is what birds do, this is what animals do, this is what this is what happens in the natural world. But yet here we are in this crisis because we can't seem to accommodate people trying to find a better place because where they're living is untenable. Mm-hmm. I guess to get back to what you were asking about the meaning, I think what motivates me to paint is making marks and making meaning. And I really believe that it's about how we are with each other, how we regard with generosity, either the person in front of us, the land around us, the animal we're looking at, that we treat them as a subject, not an object. In today's world, I don't need to remind anybody of how we're bombarded with negativity, judging, mistrusting. Everyone has their own way of interpreting when they see a painting, but I hope what comes through is take time, pay attention, learn something. Barry Lopez was a great reminder of how if you are generous in how you attend to things, they will be there for you. And he's a big inspiration for me.
My name's Joseph Gallivan. You've been listening to Art Focus on KBOO Portland. My guest this week was painter Bethany Rowland. She was talking about her show What Meets the Eye, which is on now at Laura Vincent Design and Gallery in the Pearl through September 28th. Thanks very much for doing Art Focus for the first time, Bethany.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been a pleasure, and I really want to put a shout out to Laura Vincent. I'm so happy my paintings have a home with her. I know she's devoted to the environment and has a strong spirit connection to animals and the land.
Andy, whoa, whoa, looks a scream. Hand him on my whoa, whoa, whoa. Andy, whoa, whoa, silver stream. Can't tell them apart at all. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Thank you.
Sintonizando KBOO Portland en el 90.7 FM y a través de la internet en kboo.fm.
Bienvenidos a un breve informativo en su estación comunitaria KBOO 90.7.